is going on, guys? This is Jamie Kane, the host and founder of Liberty Uninterrupted.
What's going on, guys? My name is Logan Carpenter, here with Against the Mob podcast.
Matt Billingsley, one half Against the Mob, coming at you.
That's right. I am excited. So for everybody listening, this is a little bit different of an episode because here we have, if you're watching on YouTube, we have the Liberty Uninterrupted and Against the Mob in collaboration with creating what we call the Sovereignty Network. And so just a real fast explanation, me and the boy, the Liberty Bros, you're pointing at the bat. I don't know how to do
the logo
that.
There.
Pointing at the bat, our logo. But me and the boy, the Liberty Bros over at, Against the Mob, we've been talking a little bit about wanting to create a network of podcasts and blogs and just creators, you know, from whatever arena that are focused on extending and progressing the Liberty movement in all forms. And so this is a voluntary association of, like I said, of creators, and we're the flagship podcast that are part of the Sovereignty Network. We started the Sovereignty Network, and we're hoping to bring in more podcasts, blogs, creators, all for liberty. That's our mantra here, is for liberty in the Sovereignty Network. And that's kind of where we're all together. So Matt is going to lead us off with a discussion about some stuff that we've talked about recently as we kind of break down what the Sovereignty Network is, what we want it to be, and how you can get involved as well.
Yeah, so this comes from a recent experience that I had. I was having drinks with a former coworker. She's moved on to another job, but we're still all friends. And so I met up with her and like six other people, and we're just chatting, having a good time. And always politics comes up, right? This person, I would call her a blue-pilled person, right? As much as I love her, she's a blue-pilled person. And I saw her violently reject our efforts to red pill her. We start talking about inflation. We start talking about things like universal basic income. We start talking about things like taxes, all of that stuff. And she shut down, didn't want to hear anything that we had to say. That's fine, because Logan and mine, our mantra for Against the Mob is people over politics. And I'm a firm believer in that. We can disagree and we can go on our merry way. I don't think any less of her. I just know that I'm not going to waste my oxygen anymore about those particular conversations, which got me thinking about the Matrix, because when we use this term blue pill and red pill, oftentimes I use it as this over-encompassing, well, anybody who isn't like going down the Liberty road is a blue-pilled person. But then I realized that that's almost it's an incorrect way of looking at it, because bear with me as I go down this. In the Matrix, right, Neo is presented the option to have the blue or red pill after he has already started to seek out truth. He doesn't wake up and take a blue pill every single morning. And most people in the Matrix aren't waking up and taking the blue pill. And so I had this revelation that, okay, it's like a blue-pilled person isn't someone who doesn't know about the ideas of liberty, hasn't gone down the journey of individual sovereignty and personal responsibility and property rights and all of that stuff. A blue-pilled person is someone who has had these ideas presented to them and then rejects it. And then a red-pilled person is someone who has gone down these and accepts it. And then that got me realizing that there's an awful lot of people that haven't even started their journey towards quote-unquote truth. You know, I use that loosely in the Matrix metaphor. And so the whole idea of Sovereignty Network that kind of gave us focus to be able to merge our focus of Against the Mob, people over politics, and Jamie's focus of Liberty Uninterrupted, a libertarian method to overcoming the state, that gave us a direction to focus the Sovereignty Network. We want to be able to get in front of people that have never even heard the ideas of liberty, personal responsibility, self-sovereignty. And when they start that journey, we are here to help them take the red pill.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not always a conscious decision, like you're saying. And there are those who consciously choose the blue pill, that they see what's outside of the Matrix, so to speak. They see kind of the ugly side of government, and they come to the wrong conclusion, essentially, in our minds, where they decide that maybe if I had control over this thing, it would go correctly, whereas it has gone awry in every other amalgamation of what a state is. And that's something we're really trying to focus on. And another part of what this is, I mean, all of us are passionate. All of us think of ourselves as articulate, well-spoken men who'd like to get paid full-time someday to do so. But what we're really here to do is try to share what we think is the most beautiful and succinct political ideology that's ever existed. And we want to spread that beautiful thing to the world.
Yeah. And I will, I'll say this, that it's important to understand that in creating the sovereignty network that, you know, I've recently started using the phrase anti-politics with Liberty Uninterrupted, because I believe that culture is more important than politics. And we know that politics, you know, runs downstream of culture, right? And that's what the sovereignty network is for me. And Matt, when you were talking, I kind of, this light bulb just kind of came on. I hadn't really thought about this in depth yet, but I think it rings true for me and hopefully for y'all as well, that, you know, this is about creating the culture of liberty. This is about creating the culture of individual, you know, sovereignty, creating the culture of, you know, wanting to, you know, not hurt people and not take their stuff, like wanting to be self-reliant and understanding that the best course of action for all humankind is a life that where the state is at the very least minimalized to just protecting the non-aggression principle, right? And the only way we're going to get there is by, it is by winning the culture, is by helping other creators see that they should have and they should participate in the movement. And so we wanted to give a voice. We wanted to give a platform to where we could not necessarily, like, I don't want to say like, you know, recycle an audience, but pull from audiences, give a platform that's already established with Against the Mob, with Liberty Uninterrupted, and for new people coming on board and show them like, hey, like, we want you to succeed. This isn't a competition. This is an effort altogether to progress the movement of liberty as individuals and as a tribe of liberty-loving people, to win the culture and to show people this is the best course of action. And it's all, and Logan, like you said, it's the best political system. It's also just the best human system. And it's simply the best human system to be individually free and to embrace individualism as a whole, as a society, even especially outside of politics.
Right. Not only is it the most fair way to organize society, and maybe political systems the wrong terminology to use, because it is kind of at its core anti-political, of course. But what we're trying to advocate here is for freedom, for your rights, for what we think is the fairest way for all of us to have our own pursuit of happiness in life. But also, I would think all of us probably agree, when you really dive into what the free markets are, the forces that decide pricing within the market and the way that people interact with each other, that we think this is probably the best way to keep the money in everybody's own pockets as well.
Right, right, 100%. Right. And I think this is, and maybe I think I'm stealing this from, is this Lenin? Each of their own according to their means. That's Lenin, isn't it? Because when
I don't know.
When I think about that, I really think that's like a communist slogan. I don't want to like lead with that, but at the same time,
man, we gotta like, start this over.
What I guess to spin it the way that I see it, when it comes to the sovereignty network, our goal is to create this umbrella for anybody that has a passion and wants to get in the fight to actually get in the fight. So if you want to write to the blog, like Jamie said, perfect. Here's a platform. If you want to start a podcast, we are super open to helping you get going. You know, Logan and I we've only done 13 episodes. Jamie's a little bit ahead of us. None of us are like Dave Smith professional type podcaster. So it can be this learning experience. But the whole idea of this is that we want to open this up to anybody that is interested in progressing the ideas of liberty, because we need all hands on deck. This is not going to happen with Jamie, Logan, and I talking into a microphone once or twice a week. This isn't going to happen with 4 or 5 blog writers contributing. You know, we're going to have anybody that's interested. And that's the whole point, is that we want to open this up. We truly believe in free markets. We truly believe in volunteerist and consensual acts. And so that's what we want to do. We want to open this up and actually practice what we preach.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I'm glad that you brought that up, because it is, we're here to help, man. Like, it's, at the end of the day, this, you know, Logan, you talked about how we all would love to do this professionally someday. And that's honestly, that's my goal. I've told people very openly that I would love to transform Liberty Uninterrupted into a viable business, where literally I spend my entire time talking to this microphone, creating content for the blog, for the YouTube, and progressing the ideals of liberty and self-sovereignty. And with that being said, though, like, this can't be, and this is not like a competition. It's not like when you guys came to me and said, hey, we're thinking about starting a podcast, you got any tips or whatever? It was like, yeah, dude, let's freaking get this thing figured out. And I've had other people that have helped me when I got started, not so much with this podcast, but my original podcast, all about entrepreneurship. I mean, I've reached out to people. They help boost me up. And that's what we want to do here at the Sovereignty Network, is if you want to create a blog, or if you want to write for a blog, if you want to create your own podcast, if you want to do, I don't know, a YouTube channel, like any of that stuff, man, just like reach out and know that you can't be a part of the Sovereignty Network. And we are here to help you as a collection, not a collective, but a collection of individuals who are dedicated to the cause of liberty and helping one another doing so.
Right. And I think it was an interesting point you brought up earlier, and kind of vaulting off the conversation that you two guys had about what our responsibility is, and as far as kind of co-signing the state by running for office or by adding grease to the gears that is this political system. And that was something, as I was listening to it. Big debate.
Dude, I was, I thought it was, that was the best episode, man. I've had a lot of people reach out to that was their favorite episode so far.
Right on. I would say I enjoyed it. I was sitting there screaming in the own, my back of my own head listening to it, because I felt like Matthew missed one of the more important parts that I thought was the case for somebody to run for political office as a libertarian. And you actually brought it up, Jamie, so kudos to you for saying it. But
for arguing my point.
For arguing the point that Matthew was having.
I did not do my job, apparently. I did the exact opposite of what I was aiming to do.
Terrible debate strategy, but a totally conceived point that you made.
Why do I have to be so freaking unbiased? I suck, dude. That's
well, hey, I mean, that's part of what we at least maybe in our own hubris, right? Right, but at least what we believe led us to libertarianism is that objective ideology and understanding what fairness is and what people should and should not be able to infringe into in your life. But back to my point, what you brought up about Ron Paul, that, you know, this is a game where we're all trying to wrestle away this perceived power that these people who rule over us have. And if we're going to do that in a non-political way, it's going to be really important that we build a community. And like you said, a culture, that we get America to understand that it deserves to be free and that it doesn't deserve to have masters anymore. And I think that's exactly why it is important to have some of these people who are libertarians in the political realm, even if it's just to get us on the debate stage, to create the next Ron Paul that can inspire those people. So I think that's a big part of what we're trying to do moving forward, is we really need to get the message out there. And that comes in any shape and form. I think we can get it out there, short of being hellfire and brimstone and turning people off to it. I think there's something, and that's kind of to our point of people over politics, is you don't want to just scream this at people, because you do have to convert people. And I've never had somebody scream in my face that I thought was making a good point.
Well, I do want to say this too, that it's important to understand that our message is a message of hope, right? Like I think you see a lot of, you know, anarchists or volunteers, libertarians, like classical liberals, where it's just kind of like, it's a very, like, I know on my Instagram page, like most of my content is like, not the messages are dark, but the aesthetic is dark. Like I purposely did that because I wanted the movement to feel robust. Right. But with that being said, the messages, the quotes that I personally post on my own Instagram for the podcast, they're messages of understanding, but a lot of them are messages of hope. Like the message of liberty is not, sometimes it doesn't need to be fire burn. Sometimes it needs to be in your face. Send your eyebrows. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like get up there, feel the heat a little bit. But I mean, it is a message of like, of what we can have. Me and Matt talked about that, you know, before. It's like we had to talk about what we can gain. Like we can, it's not like you're not losing, you know, welfare. You're gaining the ability to live a life more fully that isn't dependent on the state, right? Like that's just an example. Mm-hmm. I think we in the liberty movement need to be optimistic and positive, where I know things look bleak right now for sure. And I mean, they are. I mean, Biden signed 50 something executive orders. Like, He just signed an order today saying that, you know, taxpayers have to fund transgender transitioning in the military, even if you don't agree with that, you know, and, you know, for religious folks or whoever. And it's just like, it doesn't look like a great time if you're anti-state, but it optimists or pessimists never win the battles. The pessimists never are the ones that gain traction. It is the optimists and the hopeful. Even if you are realistically hopeful, you still need to be optimistic and be a light on the hill, you know, if we're going to, as a biblical reference, right? So
yeah, I really like that. And I've been diving into I've been listening to a lot of Michael Malice, and I'm really excited about his next book, which is the White Pill, because we have the Blue Pill, which is, you know, going back into hear me out. We're not canceling Michael Malice. No.
Michael Malice is the best.
So you have the Blue Pill, which is, you know, like we say, that someone who subscribes to statist bullshit and propaganda. You have the red pill that we use, that someone who has opened their eyes to the ideas of liberty. But in Camus, and because he's a big Camus person, and that's got me really reading, because I have the myth of Sisyphus right here that I've been rereading, because there is something to be said about finding hope. But his whole for Camus, the worst thing is cynicism, which is taking the black pill, and that is giving up all hope, and that is just relegating yourself to the fact that there's nothing that we can ever do. And so Michael Malice's next book is going to be the white pill, which is that there is hope, that if you look at history, if you look at where we are, even though that, yes, there's a lot of things that are wrong today, we have been making a steady progression that has made the world and standards of living better for everybody year after year after year after year. People always, you know, because I'm a big history buff, people are like, what year would you ever want to live in history? It's like, I don't want to go back in history. You know, it's like, yeah, I like to play jazz music, but I don't want to be a jazz musician in 1920. No way. You know, I don't want to live in the 40s, the good old days, so I can get drafted up and be used as cannon fodder on the shores of some island I can't pronounce. You know, I don't want to live in any of the, yeah, I don't want to live in any other time period. And I think that that's something that we, all three of us, are very focused on, is providing that message of hope that, yes, we have a hell of a road in front of us and the battle has just began, but we have an opportunity to make this world better. And if Jamie, Logan, and I can leave this world just a tiny bit freer than when we found it, well, then that's time well served, because life, you know, as Camus says, it is the absurdity of life. We are the absurd man. And the only purpose is to find your purpose and to promote it to the fullest that you can. And I think that all three of us have found that in Liberty.
I think you made an interesting point there of the nihilistic versus having a little more hope now. And I was really also turned by Michael Malice on the same idea, where the momentum is bad right now. It's definitely headed in a way that has become larger and larger state. And it's been that way for a long time, whether you vote red or blue. They seem to have the same agenda of bombing children in the Middle East and growing the American empire and executive power. But we also live in the day where propaganda has become more difficult. There's so much out there on the internet, and they're trying to flood it to kind of, that's the new strategy, it seems like, is let's just flood it with so much information that you can't parse it out. But this cathedral, this state, deep state apparatus that's been growing and growing, has never been more exposed than it is right now. And I think that's the great gift that Donald Trump gave us. I'm no fan of him, but when he, first of all, won an election, that's the first time in my life that I took the white pill, because I was very much so a black pill person. I had never voted in my life because I didn't think they were counting the votes. I didn't think it mattered. I was like, they're putting in whoever the hell they want to, and this is all just a sham. And then when Trump got in there, I went, well, that was not the plan. So something's going on behind the scenes here. Maybe they are counting some votes. And I think that he hopefully woke up all of America. And you can kind of see it now, even with Biden. I've been at least kind of reserved optimism about how people have stayed paying attention to it, that I think maybe Trump finally shook the tree enough that people are paying attention to politics to realize that, hey, just because your team color won doesn't mean that everything going on in this government's an awesome thing.
100%. Yeah, no, I agree with all that. I think you guys made a lot of interesting points, because it shows this, that Americans are waking up. I mean, if you look at 2012, when Ron Paul ran, I mean, his grassroots movement, I mean, I think he pulled third and sometimes at first before the media started kind of ignoring him. And obviously we know the rest of the story. Right. But with that being said, like, there are grassroots liberty loving individuals throughout this country. I do think we're a minority, but I think we're only a minority because there aren't more people out there having the conversations, doing what we're doing, winning the culture. I think Ron Paul created it. I mean, he did create that, the whole revolution with like the love in it, you know, like he created a culture of loving liberty, of loving freedom and understanding like the state is not the good guy. The government is not your friend. Right. And we, and I don't think that's gone away. There's a spirit of rebellion. There's a spirit of liberty in this country. I don't think, like I said, I think it's the minority of people, but that doesn't mean that people can't be, you know, awakened. And Matt, when he, when we were talking the other day and kind of, you know, solidifying what the sovereignty network was going to be and how we were going to do things, he brought up that example to me of the red pill and the blue pill. And it really, I never thought about that because, you know, you think not everybody's been given the option to take one of those pills. And, you know, some people, they are given the option. Do you want to go back to sleep knowing what you know and just be okay with being a slave? Or do you want to take the red pill and see things for what they are and progress the movement, right? And then there's a, but the majority of people have, Morpheus has never showed up to their door. They haven't been given the option. And our job isn't to, and Matt and I talked about this the other day, I'm sure Logan, you agree that our job isn't to red pill the blue pill people. Sure, no doubt there will be some people that come over to our side that see it. I think you see a lot of people like Dave Rubin, for instance, is the first example that pops up. I mean, he's not fully libertarian by any means, but he was a hard, I mean, the dude was on Young Turks. And now he, you know what I'm saying? Now he considers himself more of a libertarian, right? So there are some examples, but our job, and when I say our job, I mean all of us in the liberty movement need you to understand that it's to present the, each of us has these pills. We can all present them. And my hope is that as we do this, the Sovereignty Network, as you join us, as we continue to progress the movement, that we'll just be inviting people. Because at the end of the day, that's all you can do is invite people to partake of the movement. And it's their choice. They have to use their agency. They have to use their free will because they are an individual to see what side they're going to choose. But it's our job to at least give them, or at least not even give them the options, but show them that there are options out there. And that's kind of my goal with this. And I know, Matt, you said something similar as well.
Yeah, for sure. And there's when you were talking, that got another line that I've heard recently. It says, you know, one candle can light 1,000 candles and still be lit, be that candle. And that one stuck with me. I actually heard it in a song probably like 4 or 5 days ago. And it's but that's like a really cool idea, right? That we can sit there and that we can bring people into the fold, that we can progress this together. And for every candle that we light, that we can go out there and light others. And then that is just a continuation, you know, and it's just this big critical movement towards critical mass. Because something that I have to keep in mind, that we have to remain positive and progress in hope and in love, is that the most consequential and foundational movements of history have never been the majority. It is always a small, fierce minority, for better or for worse. The Holocaust is perpetrated by 3% of the population of Germany, right? And we all know the evils of that. You're talking about, but at the same time, it's the 3% movement that leads the revolution. And there's countless other examples of history that it's not. You don't have to tip it to 51% of the population believes that. We only need a small group of fierce warriors fighting in our own rights, in our own lanes, fighting our own battles to get this message to enough people to start to tip it to critical mass.
Yeah, you definitely have a point there. And I think on that, I think there are a tendency to maybe see every voter as a blue pillar. And I think that that's an important point to make too, that I think this propaganda has been going on for so long, and there's such a push from the state for your responsibility to vote, to make sure that you're counted, to make sure that you're doing your civic duty. I think that we definitely need to keep in mind that we don't want to write off every Democrat or Republican voter as a blue pillar. I think there's a lot of people who are lost, and I think there are even more people who are voters who haven't diagnosed political ideas at all, and that they're basically voting according to zip code or according to their friend group. And I try to really make a focus of that myself. I really like to use the language specifically of the left, because I think that most Republican voters at their heart kind of are libertarians. They just don't understand that the Republicans are not. They kind of think they're voting for small government and for freedom. And that's where I try to come around to the left, where using words like oppression, yeah, I believe in oppression. I think we're all oppressed. I think we're oppressed by the greatest apparatus of oppression that's ever existed, and it's called the state. And this is why I'm going to get you out of oppression through these ideas, where we can all be our own rulers, have our own ideas. And I think that that's an important concept to keep in mind while we're trying to bring people into this, that we need to, one, we got to know our shit. You can't be coming into these debates half-assed, which I don't think is an issue with any of us. We all seem to be pretty big dorks about this and try to do our fair share of reading for a couple of dumb chimps.
What are we talking about?
Where are we at? You got me. I was about to go right back into it.
I was just asking. No, I agree, man. I agree with that point. I also want to say that you don't need to be I have 2 points. So you don't need to be a PhD. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to have like a master's or like, but you do need to understand these concepts, because a lot of people on the left and the right specifically, like and this is to Logan's point, they're kind of born into that. Like their parents are Democrats or Republicans, and they just kind of follow suit. Or maybe if they're rebellious, they go to the other side, right? But they don't like leave the duopoly. They just stay in the duopoly, just flip sides, you know? And that's one of those things that, you know, a lot of people are born into that and they don't know any better. They haven't, you know, researched and they haven't grown. So the first thing is you don't have to be the most knowledgeable person in the world, because I'm telling you right now, everyone has somebody that's above them in knowledge, and everyone has someone that's below them in knowledge. Not that that makes people better or worse than others, but that does show you that you can help the person below you in knowledge while reaching out for the person above you. And that's kind of how that whole system works. You know, at least I've seen that in my life through the Liberty Movement, my professional life, you know, whatever it may be, that's how it seems to always kind of work. And I do. And like I said, I don't want to write off like Republicans or Democrats, right? Because, you know, my dad, I'm not sure if he's going to appreciate me telling the story, but I'm going to tell it anyways, because it's my podcast, our podcast. But my dad was a hardcore, like, George Bush dude, like, loved George W. Bush, was all, like, was pumped when he won his second election. And then shortly after his election of his second term, my dad started doing more research and started questioning things. And then, you know, long story short, now he's a total Ron Paul guy, right? Like, he's a total, like, he hates Bush. He sees the military industrial complex. Like, he taught me a lot of stuff that I know about the Liberty Movement, right? And he opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. And that's what I'm saying. Like, people can move, they can't pivot. But once again, my dad was presented with the option. Are you just going to keep, you know, are you just going to vote for the next Bush, or are you going to take this red pill because you've been offered the option? And then continue to learn and to grow, which he has done, right? So that's just an example of my own personal life. And I know that for myself too, right? Because I liked Mitt Romney originally. And then when I found Ron Paul, I was like, oh no, Mitt Romney sucks. This guy's awesome, right? Like, that's, you know, how stupid was that for a week? I was like, yeah, Mitt Romney's a guy. And then I started listening to Ron Paul and I was like, this is the guy right here, bro.
This sounds like what I've been looking for.
Yeah,
I think it's really like encouraging though to hear that about your dad. Like, 100%, you know, we all have a tendency to get set in our ways. It happens to every human being. We calcify our brain at some point and become steadfast in our ways. So that's actually really encouraging to me to hear somebody who could, especially a Bush years old Republican, you know?
You know, he was like 45, you know, when Bush won his second term. So it's like, you know, it's one of those things that it's not, like I said, I thought Romney was a dude. And it's funny because I consider myself like a constitutional conservative all through high school up until Ron Paul, right? But the thing is, like, even if I was a constitutional conservative, Mitt Romney still wasn't the logical choice in that election, right? But it was because I was like voting. I had always like supported, even though I couldn't vote, you know, until like 2012, that like, I always supported the Republicans because that's where I figured I lined up. I didn't take the time to research. I researched the idea, I didn't research the candidates. And I think a lot of people fall into that camp of they're just voting. And we talk about it all the time. They're just voting for color. They're just voting for the R or the D. They're not voting for the ideas. Right. If they truly looked at the candidates, like if everyone truly read the platforms, I don't think anybody would go out and vote. Like, why would you want to vote for the RD? Like, I think Ron Paul would have won the nomination and maybe the presidency. You know what I'm saying? If you just read the platforms, but it's not about that. It's about which team you're cheering for. And hopefully we can just get people to say, you know what? Like, I actually do want to understand, you know, what's going on. Like, I want to know, you know, and then at least I can make my choice if I'm going to keep with the program or I'm going to, join the Liberty Movement.
Right. And we're just out here telling you that you should be rooting for the team that you're playing for, which is the citizen, the individual,
I was going to say, where are you taking that, dude?
That's a really
like,
good point.
You just totally shot down like everything I just said. No.
That's pretty rough. Both of your team. You.
No, you're right, dude. Like, we all have a common enemy. That's the state. And like we're so busy talking about a civil war that we're not talking about a revolution.
I think that's interesting, too, because like you were saying earlier, there's so many people who are woken up to the evils of the state. And there's this huge opportunity to try to grow this movement. And I think, unfortunately, the more momentum of the people who have learned to hate the state has gone into this kind of socialist Democrat area where they don't understand that the evil is not the current amalgamation of the state, but is, in fact, the right of somebody else to coerce you through force to live the life they want you to live.
Yeah, those are all good points. And something that Jamie and I talked about earlier when we were trying to figure out how this is going to work, that oftentimes one of the critiques of, you know, libertarianism or individualism or volunteerism or whatever, and wherever you fall in the liberty spectrum, is that we're given a bad rap as just like, oh, so you just want to stand as your own castle, and that's all you care about is your own castle. And no, that's not the point. So the point of, you know, volunteerists is that I choose to align with these other castles, right? Because it's not that I'm over here by myself just doing what I want. It's that we choose our castles. And that so we choose the people that we stand in a castle with, or we band our castles together to make ourselves stronger and better and for the common goal. And so that's just something I do want to push, that libertarianism is not about, it is, let's just forsake the collective 100% at, you know, or push the individual 100% at the sake of the collective. It is that we choose any collective that we are a part of. We choose to be a part of that, and we can enter that freely, and we can exit that freely.
Right. And I think it's important to distinguish between, that's what I like the word tribes, because, like, you know, there's tribalism, mm-hmm. which I hate, but like the collective, you know, so, but we pick our tribes, but the tribes that we pick allow us to be individuals, allow us mm-hmm. to think for ourselves, right? Like the collective movement that is sweeping across this nation and frankly the world right now is join us. And if you disagree on any front, then you're not a part of this. Like you can't think for yourself. You have to have the hive mind. You see that like every step of the way, if you have any different idea, then we're going to cancel you. We're going to come after you. We're going to dox you. Like that's what it is right now. And so it's like, we all have our sovereign tribes, right? We all, like, if you think of yourself as a sovereign kingdom or a sovereign tribe, but then the kingdom next to you say, hey, like, I don't want to go to war with you, but I want to protect, I want us to be allies and to protect each other from aggression, from theft, from destruction, by recognizing each other's sovereignty and how we can't trample on that just because I have a kingdom and you have a kingdom. Like, that's not how that works. And so I think recognizing each other's sovereignty and then everyone agreeing to adhere to the non-aggression principle. And that's what that's what our tribe is built on. And understanding that we all have our individual thoughts and opinions, and that's a good thing. That's what we're about. And so being in the liberty movement doesn't mean being a lone wolf. Like, that doesn't mean just like, I mean, sure, if you want to go live out in the woods and do your thing, yeah, do it. But if anything ever pops off, yeah, he's freaking Unabomber, dude. But if anything ever pops off where they're coming after you because you decided to collect rainwater, I'm there and voicing my support for you and doing what I can because your sovereignty is now being attacked by the state, you know? So
I want to make the point too, because I think that it gets, like Matt said, a bad rap in that it's like forsaking the greater good for the individual, or for forsaking society for the individual, or only looking out for number one. But I think the more you dive into these economic principles and the more you talk to people like Matt Mitchell that we've had on our podcast a couple times, who routinely comes on and makes me and Matt feel like dummies, you start to realize that
it's not hard.
This isn't this. Left too much air in there.
Yeah, you paused. That's on you.
That was my fault. I set it up. It was a slow ball. But what I'm getting at is we understand this too. When you have a free market, it takes away. I mean, think of any job you've ever had, and you get this edict from corporate that comes down, and you're going, what? 80-year-old obese set in his ways dude who hasn't worked in this industry in 20 years that sits on a board somewhere 1,000 miles away made this idiotic decision for me. And that's kind of how we see all of these interactions, that nobody has more information about your life and the right choice to make than you do as an individual. And that you at least have the opportunity, and of course some of us are going to choose wrong, some of us are going to choose wrong constantly, but we think that you have the best tools set aside in front of you in order to create what is the best pursuit of happiness in your life, pursuit of wealth in your life. And I think more often than not, what you're going to see is that people are going to find their niche. They're going to understand that, I mean, maybe you aren't destined to be a millionaire for whatever reason, but you can still work within your own community, find where you fit, find a market where you can provide value. And in doing so, provide value for yourself as well as those in your community. And I think it tends to come down better that way. I mean, yeah. We've seen what the states amalgamations of this are when they decide bottom top down to disperse the money. It tends to go to friends and families first.
I think what you're describing too is like, I mean, that's what a true free market is, right? That's that it's individuals making the decision to have a voluntary interaction with somebody else. That is the free market. Mm-hmm. Like, people want to say the free market is an economic system, which at first and foremost, it absolutely is. But I think that we would be, you know, amiss to say that the free market extends to so much more. Like, I think you could say, like, it extends to relationships. It extends to, you know, business partnerships. It extends to, you know, I mean, there's so many different things where you decide to voluntarily interact with somebody. To me, that is the free market, right? And that's mm-hmm. like I said, it's a collection. It is individuals deciding to come together in a voluntary interaction. That's what the Sovereignty Network is. That's what the Liberty Movement is that we're all individuals that recognize each other's individualism, and yet we have voluntarily decided to interact with one another and to build this movement. And dude, it's so cool because it kind of gives me goosebumps thinking about it, like how grassroots this is. Like, this is a culture. Like, if you look at, like, I didn't really like see it because, you know, before I created Liberty Uninterrupted, like, I was involved with the Libertarian Party in my state and nationally. I did, you know, volunteering for the Ron Paul campaign. Like, I had done tons of reading, of course, and I was always involved in some shape or form. But I didn't have a lot of friends that were like libertarian like I was, or like were as involved. Like, most people thought what I was doing and what I care about was boring, right? And so when I created Liberty Interrupted and made the Instagram and saw this like subsect of Instagram that is freaking viciously for liberty, dude, it's just like so exciting to see that. Like, that, and Instagram is such a small, like, you know, example, because there's so many more people outside of social media that it is. But it's just cool to see that, like, we have a culture. It is here, and so we all embrace it. We're all a part of it, and it excites all of us. And for me, like, I'll say it time again, because that's what Liberty Uninterrupted, as I pivoted, is about. Is I want to expand the culture of liberty. Like, that's what my goal is, right? And hoping that will run downstream. And as everybody drinks that Kool-Aid, they'll realize that they're free and they can do what they want. And then they won't make people drink their Kool-Aid. They'll just all drink the free Kool-Aid and call it good, you know?
That's some good Kool-Aid.
That was a horrible analogy, but it works.
So that's some good Kool-Aid.
Freaking a river of Kool-Aid. I haven't had Kool-Aid in years, dude. So it's, you know, maybe for me, it'd be Monster. It'd be like a river of like Monster Zero, you know, what's it called? Zero, sipping it up, dude.
But, good way to shut down the kidneys.
Someone say something so I stop talking. Just someone say something.
I did have a thought that, and this is something I've been toying around with in my own head, but, and it's something that's frustrated at least Matthew and I know to no end with the Libertarian Party, in that a big part of this, like you said, this is a culture. This is what we're driving here is not a political party. It's an ideology. And I think that's a really important point to get across to people too, because we have two dominant political parties in this nation, and they're just that. Neither one of them have a political ideology. They don't know how to organize society. They're kind of going at a whim. If they need to buy off a couple votes by offering this or that, they're totally willing to do it, even if it's against their principles. And they're not really diving deep into it. They have no guiding principle. They have no compass on the boat. They're just out letting the waves take them where they want to. And I think that's how you really find the dangers of democracy, because then you're getting into the point of just like, let's see what the mob thinks today.
Yeah, no, I 1,000% agree. Sorry, go ahead, Matt. I have a point. I'll just write it down.
Oh no, no, go for it, go for it.
No, you're good, dude. You go. I'll write it down.
Oh, so just some literature, because I've been trying to expand how many books I'm reading into all of the different avenues and just stuff to really try to, you know, sharpen my mind and get as, you know, as encompassing as a read as I can. A book that I have ordered that I has not shown up yet is The Crowd from Gustave Le Bon, maybe. If you Google The Crowd and put Gustave, it will show up. But the whole premise of this book, as far as I've been told, because I only read the synopsis of it, is that this he's a late 19th century psychologist who breaks down how individuals will behave different in a crowd. We all know that is like the crowd mentality is dangerous. That's where you get lynchings and stuff like that. And so that was the original idea of Against the Mob, that Logan and I wanted to push back against what the mob of statist culture is right now, because that's what they are. It's a very dangerous armed mob. And, you know, it's one of those things that all you have to do is look into history. It's the mob is a powerful force, but it is also a dangerous force, because it can go in there and it can lop off heads, and sometimes not for the right reasons. And then it's evolved, like Against the Mob has evolved from, yes, we're pushing back against the mob of the people who are pushing for statism, but we're also pushing back against the mob that is the federal mafioso, for lack of a better term. And so I picture us partnering with Jamie, and here we are trying to just like push these two forces aside and create and carve out this beautiful culture that is liberty.
Yeah, I love that, dude. I think you nailed that. That was, you need to write a poem, and that's what it needs to say. But I want to reemphasize that, like, this isn't like an official, like, you know, Liberty Uninterrupted and Against the Mob have this network, and like, we're like in charge of all these podcasts that joined. We literally just created this organization that is a volunteer organization that if you want to associate with people that adhere to the non-aggression principle, that adhere to the principle of consent and volunteerism, libertarianism, you know, individualism, and you want help in growing whatever you're doing to progress the liberty movement, that's what this is. It is simply, it's like a club. It's basically a club for creators to, you know, I'm saying it's an awesome club. It's like a club for creators to expand their reach, number one, to get the help they need to do so, but also just to band together as people that all have the same common purpose, and that's to progress the non-aggression principle and the ideas of individual liberty. I do want to say that I wrote this down, so I don't want to forget talking about it, where, you know, Logan, you talked about how, you know, the culture and everything like that is like the most important thing we can win, right? And in the frustrations with the Libertarian Party itself. And I actually just met with the Libertarian Party state chair of the state that I live in. And I'm very good friends with her. She's awesome. Like, she's a really, really good person. And I sat down with him and was talking about, because I am a member of my Libertarian Party in my state, but I look at it as kind of like this. I look at it as a voluntary interaction where they know, like, I'm not there to push politicians. I'm not there to push candidates. I am there. I just met with him again. I said, I want to win the culture in our state, especially in my community, because I kind of head the operations of my community. I said, I'm not going to talk about candidates. I'm not going to talk about the national party. I'm literally going to talk about our ideas. And if that's not like cool, then that's fine. But that's what I want to do, because I believe it's so much more important than talking about, you know, John Deere, who's running for city council. Like, I just don't like, mm-hmm. I just don't think that's nearly as important as winning the hearts and minds of people to the idea of liberty.
No, you're exactly right. That's why I was circling and not hitting the head on earlier, is these other sides, they don't have that. That's our strength as libertarians, that we have a succinct, more thought out moral principle in life that is the non-aggression principle and voluntarianism, and that these other sides don't have anything to lean on. They're just out there pushing their team and saying, hey, we deserve to be the kings this 4 years. Don't you think we should run this country? And I think that's exactly like you're saying. That's why it's important, is that we need to be out there. It's great if we get a Ron Paul to run this country. I think it would do great things. But if you're running under the guise of, look at all these great things the Libertarian Party did, and then the Libertarian Party becomes absolutely not for liberty, then what's the point of all this? Then we're just back to square one, where we now have two different political parties running the show. And we've done that a lot. There's been political parties change in America. At some point, the Democrats or Republicans are going to fall apart, and there's going to be some other political party take up. And hopefully by then we've spread this message wide enough that we can not just fall back into the same dichotomy of which color do you prefer the deep state to wear.
Hearts and minds, that's what we're after. And when that breaks down and they show up on our doorstep, it's the best two places to shoot people.
That's it. Wow, that was good. No, I you saying that, Logan, reminded me of, you know, one of my new favorite books, Neither Bullets Nor Ballots, which I've read like 8 times now. But
I think you turned us on to that. That was a great read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, it's phenomenal. Dude. It's super short too. Like if you're watching on YouTube, it is like, or you know, on the podcast format, I think it doesn't even have page numbers because it's so short, dude. I think it's like 100 pages, maybe. You know what I'm saying? But in the very first essay, which was like one of my favorites because it's like a fake conversation this guy has with himself, right? Mm-hmm. He talks about I'm trying to find the quote. I'm not going to be able to find it. But basically, just says, should we change the anti-political libertarian is running, and he said, should we change the saying that, you know, power corrupts unless you're libertarian, because he's like, that's not true, right? Like, it's that's my thing. Is like, it's would I be pumped if Ron Paul became president? 1,000%. I would be ecstatic, because I'm like, if we're gonna have a president, I want it to be Ron Paul, right? Like at the end of the day, that's how I feel about it. And I wish, and if there's gonna be another Ron Paul somewhere down the road, like, you know, if we're gonna have a president, like I would want it to be him. But do I want a president at all? No. Do I want a master at all? No, I don't. That's the thing, is that when you talk about the Libertarian Party, you talk about, you know, in politics, the biggest reason that I have subscribed to volunteerism, and that's and why I'm pushing that now in Liberty Uninterrupted as much as I can, or at least trying to educate people on that, is that, you know, power corrupts no matter who you are, no matter what party you're with, no matter what your quote unquote principles are. You know, there's very few people in the history of the world that power didn't corrupt. And those people are phenomenal people. But, you know, and I'm telling you right now,
best, you get one lifetime.
Right. Exactly. And it's just like but I don't see anybody, zero people that are in the political spectrum today on the national level and even on the state level that power at some level would not corrupt some principle that they have. Right. And most of them would corrupt all their principles, and if they even have principles in the first place. Let me go ahead and say that.
You're absolutely right. I always use my analogy when I used to manage restaurants, and we had this sweet little girl who was coming up. We wanted to give her some more authority in the restaurant, so we bumped her up to a supervisor, which is essentially like you make another $1.50 an hour now and you get to boss around the other people. And you take these meager, soft-spoken little girl and give her that kind of authority. And within a week, we had to like rein her in and be like, what are you doing? You you don't get to just come in here and start swinging the big dick around. And I think that's a really important part to when it comes to converting people, because there's so many people who've never conceived the idea of living without the state. It's such a foreign concept to get rid of the state. And I think that's exactly the argument. The argument is not all states are inherently evil. The argument's not that states can't do some good. They do have the capacity to do good things. And I'm sure if I dug hard enough, I could find one or two things that America's done that are pretty good, you know? But for the most part,
well, I think if you look at America as a nation, yeah, you can't find that. But I think if you look at the state itself, right, like, yeah, good luck. But yeah, sure.
Right. Good luck digging it out. And that's kind of exactly the point. I'm not telling you that it is impossible for a state to be good or to do good. I'm telling you that human nature does not lend to that being the probability outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of the most important things that we can keep in mind is that as we, because, you know, trying to keep it on the focus of why we are doing this, we want to empower everybody to find the power within themselves that they are a sovereign person, and that if we can get enough people with that power and who walk forward in that belief, then that is actually a very effective counterforce to the state. And I'm a firm believer that this whole idea of the liberty movement and our role in the sovereignty network, and then our role in our individual roles with our separate podcast, is to try to get the ideas out there. Because back to the whole Matrix thing, right? It's like, you're not given the choice to take a red or blue pill until you start to seek out that information. Morpheus does not show up on everybody's doorstep every morning. Neo has to initiate the search for what he sees as truth or whatever, just something else. And that's what we want to do. When people initiate that search, we want to be here to show them that there is a way better way. There's a far better way than choosing the state, that you can move forward in individual liberties and personal responsibilities and private property and all of that entails, right? Because it's such a bigger encompass of just like, this is my little plot of land, right? It's like, when I say private property, it's like, you own yourself. Therefore, the fruits of your labor are yours. And it is immoral and it is illegal for anybody to come and take that. And so I'm just a big believer that moving forward, like laser focused, we're here to try to win the culture war. And here we are, ground zero.
I gotta say this before I forget. I had somebody comment on a post that I was talking about, you know, government didn't create life, liberty, and property. Like, it existed before, you know, the state. And somebody posted, you guys might have seen it, somebody posted on a comment on the post that said, not, there is a socialist profile, said, not, chief, property's a construct. And I was like, I responded, imagine a world where you own nothing and everything.
And our hat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I put like a rainbow. Oh, yeah, like I just said property and just made me think about that. But no, I agree 1,000%, man. Like, this is our purpose in this is winning the culture against the state. Because right now, I don't think it's the right. First of all, the right is not winning the culture war. It's the left, it's the extremely progressive left that is winning the culture war. But there have been times in our history that the right was winning the culture war. You look right. At like 40s, 50s, 60s. Within our lifetime. Yeah,
at least within my lifetime, you guys are even, a little younger.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 80s, 90s, right? Like, the right was definitely mm-hmm. winning, but now it's a far left. I'm like, we need to find. There's been split moments. It's so interesting to me that there's been split moments in America's history, especially obviously early on, and then some kind of sprinkled throughout where we have embraced the culture of liberty. Like, that's I want it like that, our for our liberty, right? But it's only when we're pushed to the edge. And it's so interesting. Like, I had this thought last night when I was driving and I was listening to, the Ron Paul Liberty Report. And I was just listening to, you know, him and his co-host talking about something. And the thought came to my mind that, like, you can't wait until there's no more ground to give. Like, you can't wait till your back is against the wall to embrace liberty. And that's what we have seen. At least that's what it seems like it's been that every single time that people embrace liberty, it's because they have nowhere else to go and they realize that's the only path forward. But the thing we have to realize is that that's always the logical path. That's always the best path. And we have to embrace that now. We can't embrace that when we have literally nothing else to give. And that's what I think the Sovereignty Network is about, is helping, like, once again, helping those creators and you know, podcasts, blogs, whatever, come together so we can start pushing and not even pushing. I don't like that word, but start, you know, engaging in the thought of winning the culture of liberty,
providing the better ideas.
100%. Yeah, exactly. It's because, yeah, that's it. Like, revolutions start with ideas. You know what I'm saying? Like, they, I mean, sure. Like, you look, most of them end in bloodshed, but they all begin with ideas. And my hope is that we can begin with an idea and we can fight with an idea, you know? So
I had this quote when you said that came up, and it says, I believe in one thing, liberty, but I do not believe in liberty enough to want to force it upon anyone else.
Oh, that's like, good.
How beautiful. That's, who was that's that? Mencken. Mencken, H.L. Mencken. Oh. Mencken. I don't know how to pronounce
it. He's a
name.
Quote machine, dude. Mencken. He is that, dude. It, like, Mencken? I don't know, dude. He's one of the few people I haven't really read, but he's got a lot of good quotes. That's true, man. I love that. It's one of those things that we're not here to push on you. We're just here to invite, and that's what the Sovereignty Network is. But I do want to say this. I think we're kind of wrapping this thing up. But well, we want to invite you guys. Like, if you're out there and you're listening to this, and you want to start a blog, you want to start a podcast, a YouTube channel, like, I don't know, freaking, if you want to start an Etsy account where you design liberty gear, or like you know, knickknacks or whatever, dude. Just like,
if you haven't seen the logo on Against the Mob, Matt made it, so we could use a designer, I think.
Yeah, but we we can. Yeah, Matt told me yesterday he's not good at designing, so it seems like that was a bad idea from the get go.
Well, you should see, if you think I'm bad, you should see what Logan does.
Logan's got like a smiley face on like a sticky note, dude. He's like,
well, say, I got my coloring pad here. Let me show you some horses I made.
this is my liger. It's like it's a mix between a lion and a tiger. It's for Napoleon Dynamite. But if you guys want to join the Sovereignty Network, like, you are more than welcome to come and talk to us, and literally anybody is we're okay with voluntary interacting with you as long as you adhere to the non-aggression principle, and your mission and whatever you're doing is to progress the liberty movement. And that doesn't mean you have to constantly talk about it. Like, you could have like a cooking channel on YouTube, but like, you with an undertone of liberty somehow. I don't know how you pull that off, but if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But we need to win the culture war. We need to understand that that's our common cause, is embracing the non-aggression principle and the cause of liberty.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure if you guys have anything in closing.
You know, I was just going to say the exact opposite. If you think we're all morons, come give us some pushback. I'm trying, you know, we were serious about this. We want to sharpen our own arguments. And if you got something I don't have an answer for, I'd like it to be presented to me as soon as possible so I can remedy that situation.
You speak for yourself. All right, Matt, what's up, man? What do you guys?
I got nothing just now. It's like,
yeah, whatever, Logan. No, all right, so
we're really excited about this, guys. This is an open invitation to partner with anybody that is. But you know, so I will say that there's like the Sovereignty Network. There's the mutual right of rejection, so to speak. That, you know, you have the choice to work with us, and we will have the choice to work with you. But if you are interested in progressing the ideas of liberty, if you're interested in getting the trenches in however you want to fight that battle, come talk to us. We're open. We need all the allies that we can get, because the state apparatus is alive and well and is growing every day. So the sooner that we can start making an effective, I don't want to say collective, an effective tribe to start to push back against the state, then the better off we're going to be.
Yeah, and I think I want to say something real fast, that volunteer interaction is two-way. There has to be two consenting parties, right? That's kind of what you talked about, was make that evident and clear. Like, if you're not for the non-aggression principle, if you're not for, you know, progressing the liberty movement, or if you're, you know, whatever it may be, like, you're more than welcome to I still want to be friends with you. You still want to talk to you. Still want to discuss ideas. But when it comes to the Sovereignty Network, like, we have to understand that this is progressing liberty. Like, that it has to be a two-way consent. So I'm not scared to, you know, to say that out loud, but you know, come and talk to us, man. But once again, guys, I want to thank you know, Matt and Logan for joining me on this, for partnering up, man. I'm really excited. I just want to say I'm very excited to work with y'all and to grow this and to be the flagship you know, podcast and creators for movement, and see where we can take it, man. So
yeah, absolutely, man. We're pumped about it. We couldn't believe our fortune to just happen to be kind of finding our own momentum at the same time you were. And I remember the early days of kind of discussing and trying to get our first podcast out. And Matt just kept bringing up this guy, Jamie Kane, that we're going to be working with at some point in the future. I just feel like this guy's got his head on straight. So it's good to get it going, man. I'm pumped about it.
Yeah, no, I am too. And I'm excited to see who else joins us, man. I know for Liberty Uninterrupted, I talked to Matt about this a little bit. We got a lot of really cool stuff coming down the line. I'm sure y'all do too. And so the Liberty Movement will progress. We're taking the white pill now. Or at least it's not the white powder. I guess it could be the white powder, but I don't.
if you want to crush up the white pill and sort it, that's your prerogative. That's none of my business.
Yeah. I heard it brings on.
I need this optimism, dude, so bad.
gotta get that optimism. Dude, so I just want to shout out Michael Malice, Governors, the Gitmo. Go check out his stuff. Go check out Jamie's store. We don't have a store. We'll get there one day. But yeah. Matt Billingsley, Logan Carpenter, each one half against the mob.
My name is Jamie Kane, the host and founder of Liberty Uninterrupted. You guys remember that we the people run this, but most of all today, that we are the Sovereignty Network, and this is for liberty.
Hell yeah.